Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reason. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now shall we turn back to the Psalms, the 144th Psalm, Psalm 144, beginning at the 9th verse. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings. He delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of precious, all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. I had particularly before me, dear young people, to speak on this 144th Psalm, but I read those verses in the 12th chapter of Romans because we have two particular words brought before us there, the word conformed and the word transformed. Conformed to this world. We're living in a world, a vast system of things that has been built up of man in his alienation from God. A system of things where men and women, young people and children are seeking to find happiness through the efforts of their own hands, through their own planning. And then we have that transforming process that brings us into the knowledge of the will of God, and it brings us into that blessing which is found in walking in His will. And in this 144th Psalm, we have a little millennial picture brought before us, a picture of the blessing that God will bring upon His people Israel in a future day, but in a moral way we can apply it to ourselves, because it brings before us that which should characterize us if we have been in a practical way transformed. And so each one of us in this room, the speaker as well as the hearers, is either being conformed to this world or being transformed by the renewing of our mind to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I say again that this world is a vast system, and the whole principle upon which the world operates is to have a good opinion of yourself. That's why when exhorting us not to be conformed to this world, it doesn't mention here worldliness in the sense that we often speak of it, but it strikes at the very root of what worldliness is by saying not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. You know, it's self-importance, and it's that desire that is in our hearts by nature to have attraction to ourselves that brings so much sorrow and trouble into our lives. But when we are occupied with the Lord Jesus, when we are transformed into His likeness, then the great desire of our hearts and lives is that Christ might be seen in us, in our walk and in our ways. And so that instead of thinking highly of ourselves, we think so highly of that blessed, precious Savior who has saved us and who has done so much for us, that we desire that in every aspect of our lives, Christ should be seen. And so it says about presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. Now that is, we belong to Christ. We have been redeemed at such a tremendous cost. And now we would seek to acknowledge His claims over us and to live for Him. And dear young people, what a blessing this is when we discover it in our youth. As it says there, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do we prove it? Well, we prove it as we walk in it. We may listen to these things ministered in the meetings, but unless we walk in it, we will never prove the blessedness of it. You may hear of a very good highway, but if you never drive over it, you'll never know by experience what the highway is like. You may have it by report, but you'll have to say when someone asks you about it, "Well, I've heard it's very good, but I've never been over it myself." But oh, how different when you've been over that highway yourself, and when you can speak of it as something that you know in a personal way. Well, God would have us not only to know the truth of God as we learn it in His precious Word, blessed as that is, but to know it in a practical way in our daily lives. In other words, dear young people, to walk in it, to prove the blessing of it as we walk in it. For everyone who has walked in that path can speak well of that highway of holiness, can speak well of that pathway in which the Lord Jesus walked in perfection when He was down here. Well, it all depends on what kind of company we keep. If we keep the company of the world, if we listen to all their ideas, if we follow all their reasoning, it won't be long until our thoughts and then our lives will be conformed to the world. We'll talk like them, we'll think like them, we'll dress like them, in every way we'll be like them. But if we're occupied with the Lord Jesus, we will find that our thoughts are changed, our walk and ways, even our very appearance is that which bears testimony to the fact that we belong to Christ. And so going to this 144th Psalm, it says here, "I will sing a new song unto Thee, O God." Oh, have you learned that new song? Is there an unsaved person here this afternoon, and you have never yet received the Lord Jesus as your Savior? All the songs you know are the world's songs. The songs of Christ, of Zion, they have no interest for you, because your heart has never been tuned to sing His praise. Dr. Wolfson was a great singer before his conversion to God, and he had agreed to sing at some entertainment being provided by the world. But God interrupted his plan and saved Dr. Wolfson's soul. And when he told his friends that he had accepted Christ as their Savior, they said, "Well, are you going to sing at that entertainment for us?" Well, he said, "I'll have to sing a new song if I do." He said, "If I come, I'll have to sing about my Savior." You see, God had put a new song into his mouth, even praise unto his God. And he said, "Your head is turned." Oh, he said, "My heart has been turned." And dear friends, that's true. Dear young people, I hope you can sing this new song, because it begins down here. We'll never be among the white robe company that will sing the Savior's praises above unless you have learned to sing the new song down here. Is the Lord Jesus your personal Savior? Oh, if not, there's no better time than this very day to receive Christ as your Savior. There's no more wonderful place to receive Him than right here, when the hearts of hundreds would rejoice that you had found Christ and you could join in the song with them to sing unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Then it says here, an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. You know, the children have a little song about 2 little eyes to look to God, 2 little ears to hear His word, 2 little feet to walk His ways, 2 hands to work for Him all my days, 1 little tongue to speak His truth, 1 little heart for Him now in my youth. And if you're careful in your addition, you'll find that those 4 twos and 2 ones, they add up to 10, don't they? 2 eyes, 2 hands, 2 feet, 2 ears, 1 heart, and 1 tongue. That makes 10, doesn't it? Well, I like to think of that as the 10-stringed instrument. Not only knowing Christ as your Savior, but surely this is presenting our bodies a living sacrifice so that our hands would now desire to do the will of the One who has won our hearts. Our feet would desire to walk in His ways. Our ears would like to listen to those things that are pleasing to Him. And indeed, our eyes would like to behold the things that we know please Him. Oh, how wonderful it is when there is that yielding of the whole life to Him. Oh, dear young people, don't be afraid to do it. Don't be afraid to yield your whole life to the Lord Jesus. There's no one that desires your happiness like He does. You may have friends who love you and who are interested in your happiness, who would sacrifice their own pleasure to make you happy, but you will never have one who loves you like the Lord Jesus. You'll never have one to whom you can yield unreservedly and find in Him and in His will unhindered blessing. Oh, He who has prepared that home for you above and is waiting to welcome you there is the One who wants to make you supremely happy down here. Oh, not only to know the new song, but also to sing it on 10 strings. And not only to know that Christ has saved you, but also to say, Lord, You've won my heart. I belong to Thee. Oh, how lovely this is. Well, this is the beginning, the introduction of this wonderful theme that is brought before us in this 144th Psalm. And the only way that this can be so is in the measure in which this is true in our lives as a daily thing. Then we notice in the 10th verse, it says, It is He that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. We're passing through an enemy's land. We're passing through a world where the forces of darkness are gathered against us, and we have no strength of our own. How often we find the conflict very stiff. And I know, dear young people, in this age in which you live, the conflict is really stiff. It is difficult. It's not easy to follow Christ, because never was the world more organized to keep your heart away from the Lord Jesus and to hinder you from following Him fully. But oh, how wonderful that there is One who can, as it says here, give salvation unto kings. There is One who knows every attack that the enemy brings against you, who knows, too, the weakness of your frame as He knows the weakness of mine. For each one of us has particular weaknesses. What might be a temptation to you might not be a temptation to me. And what might be a temptation to me might not be particularly to you. We all have different tendencies, but all the one who has saved us is able to deliver us from those temptations and snares. And isn't it precious as we pass through an enemy's land and know only too well the weaknesses of our own hearts to look up daily and say, "Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust." Oh, the Lord Jesus is able to help you. He's able to deliver you. The little song says, "Ask the Savior to help you." Oh, dear young people, make it the constant habit of your lives just to look up every step of the way and ask His help. Because there are snares, there are difficulties. Evil is becoming more and more open. You are surrounded with it in a way that perhaps wasn't so pronounced in years gone by. But thank God it still says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And if you take your stand upon this precious book and turn to the Lord, as our brother remarked in the meeting this morning, "And in all thy ways acknowledge him." In all thy ways. We can talk about it in connection with salvation and stop there. We can talk about it in connection with finding the place where the Lord would have us gather and stop there. But in all thy ways, there is not a detail in your life or mine too small or too great that we cannot bring to Him. And He has a positive will about that matter. And if you and I are close enough to Him, He says, "I will guide thee with mine eye." Oh, He wants to guide us. He wants to bless us. And He giveth salvation unto kings. He delivers from the hurtful sword. He's able to keep you. Depend upon Him. Look to Him in confidence. Walk in obedience to His word. And you'll find blessing. Then the next verse, "Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood." Well, this, I believe, brings before us separation. Separation. "Deliver me from the hand of strange children, and their mouth speaketh vanity, their right hand is a right hand of falsehood." Oh, I want to tell you that the company of the world is dangerous. It says, "Whosoever therefore will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God." And how many a promising young person who has started out so well has formed a friendship with someone who was of the world, and that friend led that young person away into the world. Because, you know, the world can lead you down because you have a fallen nature like they have. I have a fallen nature like they have. But the world can't lead you up. And you can't lead them up too if they're not saved, because there's no point of contact except through the fallen nature. That's all. And if you're going to enjoy things with them, you have to enjoy it as a natural man or a natural girl. And so here we find the psalmist saying, "Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children." Oh, dear young people, have you ever asked the Lord to keep you from those temptations? They're very real. There are some awfully nice young people who are not saved. I mean lovely dispositions, kind. They'd do a kindness to you if they could. They're courteous, they're thoughtful, and yet they may be haters of Christ. I don't say that they're not nice young people. I don't say that you wouldn't enjoy the kindness and good things that you see in them. But I say that they're strange children if they don't love the Lord Jesus. And if you can't speak with them about the Lord Jesus, then what do you have in common with them? Oh, the psalmist here, realizing the particular snare that this is, he says, rid me and deliver me. And I believe every one of us, even those of us who are older here this afternoon, know how the friendship of the world was a snare to us at different times in our lives. And we needed to cry, Lord, rid me and deliver me. Oh, if there's a young person here and you're slipping away into the world, may this be your cry this afternoon. Rid me and deliver me. It says, their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Falsehood. The world walks in a vain show. They have nothing worthwhile to offer you. Those very people, when you link up with them and become friends with them in an intimate way, you'll find they have no heart for your Savior and they have no true sense of spiritual values. They can't have. They weigh everything in a false balance. And the Bible says that a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. Oh, are you weighing things in a true balance? When the children of Israel paid the redemption money, it was to be after the shekel of the sanctuary. Things had to be weighed in the right balances. And things that may look very important to you in your youth, you may say, well, that friend is helping me to get along. He's helping me to get poised. He's helping me to get this. He's helping me to get that. Perhaps in the values of things in this world, it may be so. But is he helping you to follow Christ? Is he making you conform to the world? If I poured some jelly into a mold, and then I put that mold in the refrigerator, what's going to happen? Why, the jelly is going to take the mold. It's going to turn just exactly like it, and if you turn it out of the mold, there it is. It's out of the mold, but it's exactly the same as the mold. It's taken on its shape. And if you and I go along with the world, we're going to take on its shape. We're going to become like it. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So may we not weigh things in a false balance. May we weigh things in a true balance and value that which God values, appreciate that which God appreciates. I'm going to read the new translation of it. Fashioned, sculptured after the fashion of a palace. Sculptured after the fashion of a palace. Well, here we find a word for our sons and for our daughters. And may I pause here to call attention to the fact that before this, it must have been talking to parents. Because here it says that our sons and our daughters, and I want to say a word to myself and to the parents who are here this afternoon. We say we wish that our young people had a heart for Christ. We wish they followed him more. But oh, can we not say something to ourselves as parents? What kind of an example are we giving them? Do they see in us as parents that we are enjoying the Lord? Do they see in us that we think in terms of eternity, that we measure things as God measures them and values them as God values them? As another has written in a little poem, it was a sheep, not a lamb, that went astray, but the lambs follow the sheep. And pardon me, and I speak to myself as well as to those of us who are older here. May we as parents be exercised, if we want our sons and our daughters to go on for the Lord, perhaps we too could be before the Lord for our own pathway, that they might look at us and find what things we enjoy. Are we enjoying the Lord? Are we walking in the power of His truth that we speak about? Now notice this then, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. You know, we hear an expression sometimes, when will that person grow up? When will that person grow up? Well, I like to see people grow up in their youth. Sometimes, you know, dear young people, there's a sort of an idea that you have to sow your wild oats. You have to have your flame first. But here the desire of the psalmist is that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. And I like to see young people have a happy time. It's only normal that they should desire young company, young fellowship, healthful exercise. But you don't have to sow your wild oats. You don't have to go out and have a fling in the world, because there's many a young person that has gone out to have a fling in the world and has reaped it all the rest of his life, has reaped it with sorrow. Oh, dear young people, we desire that you should be grown up in your youth. In the chapter that we were reading this morning, it says that we may grow up unto Him in all things. And I can't set any more blessed motive before your heart than to grow up unto Christ. Grow up unto Christ. I know, as I say, when you're young, you have a young outlook. And I don't believe that the Scripture condemns this. But I say, is it in keeping with the mind of God? Are you seeking in your youth to acknowledge the Lord's claims over you, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth? And I want to say a particular word to the young boys here, because the Spirit of God in this verse separates the sons and the daughters, and it's the boys that give the example. It's the boys that give the example. And if those of us, you young boys, let me speak to you, are you giving an example to the others? Are you seeking to walk in such a way that others look at you and see in you the quality that ought to characterize a man? God made you a man. God has committed public ministry to men. He has committed leadership to men. And what we lack today is young men who have the quality of godly leadership in the assemblies of God. Oh, may God grant that there will be an exercise that our young people, our young men, may be grown up in their youth, plants of the Lord's planting, going on for Him. And then notice the word to the daughters, that our daughters may be as cornerstones, sculptured after the fashion of a palace. You know, it's natural for a girl to like to be dressed up, isn't it? But this weekend there's going to be a fashion show, and there's going to be a lot of people that are going to watch the fashions go by. Well, there's a fashion show right here. There's a fashion show, and each one of you are showing what kind of fashion you desire to follow. And isn't this lovely here, sculptured after the fashion of a palace? We belong to the household of God. You're being builded as an habitation of God through the Spirit. And isn't it lovely when our daughters are fashioned, sculptured after the fashion of a palace, so that others looking at them will see of that which characterizes a godly Christian girl. And our desire to please Him. Oh, this is surely a word. First for the sons to be grown up in their youth, and then a word for the daughters that they might be fashioned, sculptured after the fashion of a palace. Oh, how lovely this is. Wouldn't it be grand if each one of us here young people had such an exercise as this? Well, our meetings then would be, as we have further on here, happy is that people that is in such a case. Oh, how lovely it would be. What a blessing it would be if we who are parents heeded the warning that's given to us. If our young boys heeded the warning that's given to them. And if our daughters, in seeking to follow the fashion, would think of the fashion of the similitude of a palace, that which is pleasing to the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Then the 13th verse, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store. Oh, how lovely this is. The garners may be full. That is, there would be that feeding upon Christ. Feeding upon Christ. How often there's a drag in the meeting because there is something of conformity to the world instead of conformity to Christ. But I believe, dear brethren and dear young people, that if we were all exercised in this way, that there would be, as we have here, our garners would be full, that the meetings would be bright, happy places. Christ would be ministered in power. We'd come to the meeting and sit down and really be refreshed in our souls. Oh, may God grant that there may be this exercise with us, that we might be before the Lord for our pathway, so that the meetings might be, as we have here, affording all manner of store. That the dear saints of God might receive refreshment and blessing for their souls. That our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets. Oh, this speaks of fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. So there would be more blessing from the result of our activities. More blessing. Why is it that we don't see more blessing? Well, I believe it's partly because we ourselves are not walking close enough to the Lord. I believe the Lord would use us more than He does if there was more exercise with each one of us to walk in a way pleasing to the Lord. So that an outsider coming into the meeting, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, when he comes in, he would fall on his face and confess that God is in you of a truth. So we have our sheep, they bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets. That our oxen may be strong to labor, that there may be no breaking in, nor going out. Oh, what a word this is. No breaking in, nor going out. Oh, what God has to do to break some of us down. What He has to do. Oh, those stubborn wills of ours, dear young people, I'm looking into your faces. And if you don't go on with the Lord loves you too much to let you go your own way. And He has His own way of breaking us in. He has His own way of breaking us in. And it's not a very pleasant process sometimes. We read in the Bible of a little animal that didn't have to be broken in. It didn't have to be broken in. Why didn't it have to be broken in? Because it let Jesus sit on it. When Jesus sat on that little animal, it didn't have to be broken in. It was brought into full subjection to the one who took its place upon its back. It didn't rear, it didn't jump, it didn't say, I want my own way. It was fully given in to the will of the Lord Jesus. Oh, dear young people, may God grant that you will let the Lord Jesus take his place upon your back, as it were. And I say it for you, I say it for myself. Oh, God has to break us down sometimes in a very hard way. He loves us too much to let us go our own way. But oh, he doesn't want to have to break us in that way. I say again, that little animal didn't have to be broken in. Jesus sat on his back. Will you let the Lord Jesus have his rightful place? Then he won't have to pass you through some heartbreaking experience to break the heart, to break your heart, to break the heart of your parents, to break the heart of your brethren, because the Lord loves you and he wants to break down that will and draw you to himself, that there may be no breaking in. And notice, nor going out, nor going out. Oh, this is sad too, isn't it? I've talked to a lot of young people. I've watched a lot of young people grow up. And I'm sorry to say I've seen quite a few of them go out. Go out. Yes, they were brought up in the meeting. They heard the truth that was ministered to them. Their brethren prayed for them. Their parents prayed for them. They loved them. They pleaded with them. But they've gone out. But there may be no going out. Dear young people, if you get before the Lord and ask him to keep you, he will keep you. He wants to keep you. He wants to bless you. But there may be no going out, no breaking in, that there may be no complaining in our streets. What would this tell us of? Submission to the will of God in our lives. Submission. Are you and I going about complaining? It's not the way a Christian should act. We ought to be a happy people. There's anyone who has a right to be happy, it's the Christian. There's anyone who has a cause for thankfulness, it's the Christian. But there be no complaining in our streets. Oh, how much complaining there is. And why is it? Because we want our own way. We're not submissive to the will of God. And so we complain. We grumble. We're always grumbling about somebody or something. Somebody didn't treat us the way they should. The meetings aren't what they should be. The other young people aren't what they should be. Well, the Lord would have each one of us to be exercised that we might be going on to please the Lord and accepting our circumstances as from him. That there be no complaining in our streets. Did complaining ever bring you any happiness? Did self-will bring you any real lasting happiness? No, it brings sorrow, brings grief. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Oh, do you want to have happiness? You want to have the blessing of God? Friends can come to you and shake your hand and say they wish you the blessing of God, but they can't give it to you. But the Lord can. The Lord can give you it, and he wants to give it to you. He wants to fill your life with happiness and blessing. He's marked out the pathway in his precious word. And oh, how lovely this is. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Oh, may I say again, are we conformed to this world, or is it our desire that we should be transformed, that our minds should be renewed, that our thoughts might be formed by the Word of God, and that our lives might be fashioned in a way that's pleasing to the Lord? Oh, may God speak to each one of our hearts, so that this little psalm that brings before us a millennial picture may also be a voice to us, so that we may have something of the joys of heaven upon earth. Oh, dear young people, again I say, I speak these words in love. I desire your happiness and your blessing. Nothing makes my heart more happy than to see dear young people who really want to follow Christ, who want to go on for Him, who want to live for Him. Oh, may God grant that it will be so as the Lord's coming draws near.